guys, welcome to New Ones at Noon, aka the New Music Mondays podcast. If you were into that podcast kind of thing, and I know you are a little bit, we've got a very hefty show for you today, and I promise it is nothing more than absolutely worth it. Stay tuned in. We've got some new music from Your Paris and the Royal Foundry, as well as new music by Sukhyun Lee and the late Adam Litovitz. We also have a heartfelt interview I am truly, truly grateful for with Sukhyun Lee about the new song and the new album it is from. Before we get into all that, though, I just want to mention we are officially wrapped with the third annual Canadian Independent Music Video Awards. We had a blast sharing that live stream with you on the weekend. I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as we did. Congratulations to Cody Coyote on winning this year's Best Independent Canadian Music Video overall, through and through, end to end, for his video, Manado de Weigan. That was well deserved for an incredible music video that told a genuine Canadian story from a real perspective that maybe we're not quite comfortable enough with hearing, and we should be. I'm your host, Ben in Toronto, and I hope you are having a great day. I really do. You deserve a great day, and from my perspective, they are becoming increasingly hard to come by lately. Although the weather out there is getting much, much nicer, so maybe I will see you in a park in the near future, in the short to long term near future. So hold on to that, guys. Hold on to that good feeling when it finds you, like it just did me. And then, you know what? That's not an easy prospect sometimes. I 100% understand. Sometimes life is nothing less than brutal. That's how life rolls, and we all have to kind of bite the leather and just accept that for what it is. Best case scenario is we can hope that people in our life care enough to help keep our heads above water with us. Talking helps, and at this point, I just want to genuinely apologize for not being able to play the cello myself. It's going to be okay. This is a phrase I think we could all do with a bit more of a dose of from time to time, so to speak. Okay by the Royal Foundry was first released as a single from the band's album Wake Up, Wake Up in 2019. It's honestly a great, great song. The Royal Foundry is one of those bands that writes songs and then you hear them and then you're like, wow, who is this? You know, at a party or something. Do you remember parties? The best part about this song for me is the beginning. The first line poses the most fundamental existential question that I've ever had in my entire life. Am I doing this right? And I'm probably not. I doubt many of us actually are doing any of this right, but I also doubt that many of us are intentionally doing this wrong. This thing called life is hard, in the truest sense of that word. We're doing nothing but our best, for the most part, and one of the coolest pieces of advice I've gotten in a while is to assume good intentions from others. It's sort of a hard prospect sometimes when you're dealing with other humans. Other humans are, of course, total lunatics. If you can at least, though, understand yourself a little bit, try your best to assume that everybody has the same good intentions that you have. It can make a real difference. The Royal Foundry is truly one of Canada's undiscovered talents. It's almost Canada's undiscovered Coldplay level of talent, in my opinion, and I don't throw that around lightly. I'm sure they would actually probably hate me saying that a little bit, but it is sort of wildly true, and I hope you see what I'm saying in a moment. I hope that the Royal Foundry reminds you, as they do me, that life is genuinely bigger than yourself. Bigger than myself. The duo first released their album Wake Up, Wake Up in 2019. The album featured an incredible song called Okay. The band has recently released that song as an acoustic track, and between the lyrics and the cello, I think it's one of the most uplifting, heartbreaking, and beautiful tracks I've had nothing less than the pleasure of exhausting on my phone on repeat. This is the acoustic version of Okay, released this year by the Royal Foundry.
Am I doing this right? All this waiting for a sign. Tell me everything. Everything's okay. I'm giving up on my lifeline. Am I gonna be okay? I'm growing out of anodynes. Or maybe I'm just losing touch. I've hit the floor going nowhere. Will it be okay? I've hit the floor going nowhere. Am I gonna be okay? I've hit the floor going nowhere. It's gonna be okay.
next song that you should check out by the Royal Foundry is literally any of their songs. The strings in that track are absolutely insanely brilliant. That's all. Did I mention you should listen to the Royal Foundry more? Sukhyun Lee is a renowned Canadian broadcaster, filmmaker, actor, and musician. Adam Litovitz was an incredible Canadian musician and composer who won a Genie Award for his work on Lee's film, Year of the Carnivore. The movie starred a wonderful actor by the name of Christian Miotti. On a side note, if you haven't seen Year of the Carnivore, I highly recommend it as it's a charming, funny, and sincere story about a couple with varying degrees of sexual experience and their efforts to reconcile with that on their own terms. Lee and Litovitz were partners and best friends in work and in life. The two released their first album under the band name Juge in 2015. The two artists were working on a second album in 2019 when Litovitz was offered a gig scoring a Netflix series. The pair agreed Lee would continue with the album without Litovitz so he could focus on his new job. Unfortunately, after this, Litovitz lost his battle with depression, with his own mental health, and took his own life. Adam Litovitz was 36 years old. This is the first interview Lee has given about the new album, and I'm honestly very honored she was willing to talk to me about it. The album is being released under her own name and the name of Adam Litovitz. The album is called Juge 2, and it's due out April 9th, 2021. Lee hopes it will serve as a tribute to her late friend, lover, and partner. I sat down with Sukhyun Lee to discuss Juge 2, her work with Litovitz, the horrible experience of losing him, and why finishing the album was important. This is a heavy interview, and it may be hard to hear for some people. Lee and I agreed we would include this trigger warning before presenting the interview itself. If you were depressed, or worse, even considering harming yourself, talk to someone. It could be a doctor, it could be a parent, it could be a friend. We've included a list of resources in the description of this podcast if you're looking for someone to reach out to. If you are sensitive to these kinds of topics, maybe skip listening to this interview. Here's my interview with Canadian artist, actor, filmmaker, and musician, Sukhyun Lee. Everybody, I am here with an incredibly talented Canadian. This is Sukhyun Lee. Sukhyun, how are you today?
Benjamin, so happy to be here with you.
Your new album was written by yourself and your late partner and best friend, Adam Litovitz. Am I saying his name right?
Yeah, that's right. Adam Litovitz.
Cool. Can you tell me about the album and tell me about Adam and the experience of writing it?
Well, Adam and I were longtime collaborators. When we met over 12 years ago, it was like a meeting of two very, very entwined spirits. I remember I had gone to see a performance of John Zorn over in the East Side. And there was a group of friends of us that gathered, and I had brought this kind of like ridiculous hat. And I had a couple of them, and I was like, who wants to wear this ridiculous hat with me? And all of my friends were like, no. Adam was like, yeah. And the hat didn't look ridiculous on him. In fact, he looked like a swashbuckling pirate. And from that moment, we were really, really like just so in sync and compatible. As you say, we're creative partners and also life partners. And we put out an album 5 years ago under the band name Juge, or J-O-O-J. How do you say it?
That was my next question. How do you pronounce Juge, and if I was saying that correctly?
Well, it is spelled J-O-O-J, and Adam and I never prescribed how people would say it. We just loved the way the word looked on the page. You say Juge, I say Juge. Some people say Juge. Apparently, in French, Juge. Is like, they're like art curators were like, oh, it's so great to hear Juge's music. And I think Juge is a fancy term for a je ne sais quoi kind of spirit, which was really fun to find out that. Adam and I, we made lots of stuff together, and we scored all of my movies. I'm a filmmaker. And we decided to make a band. And so 5 years ago, our first album came out, and it was a self-titled album. We're speaking right now. I'm speaking to you from my studio, and all of our recordings, everything we've ever done, was recorded in this particular studio. And synergy that Adam and I had, I've been in bands before where, you know, recording is such a pressure. You know, it's like you see the time clicking by, and you know, everybody's like kind of piecemealing it together, like almost like it's a military tactic. with Adam and I, it was the opposite of that. We're both very much artists first, thinkers first, philosophers first. I oftentimes compare it to gardening. So our music making was very much like two gardeners tending to songs in an audio garden. And so the first album we made, and it was very spare. We've always been real big champions of minimalism. And it was kind of like torch songs, kind of contemporary, weird, modern torch songs. It was very much intense, and there were acoustic and electronic elements. So it was sort of an electro-acoustic style album. We had recorded it in the winter, and it was very kind of, you know, the songs beg a certain kind of feeling. So that was the first album, and it came out on Last Gang. Fast forward to around 2 years ago, and we decided to make a new album. The world was a very different place. We started to feel the pinch of finance, economic downturn. It was a very challenging time. I ended up losing my job. Adam was having a really hard time finding work. There were a lot of pressures that we all feel now, like especially with COVID, like the sort of bottom dropped out for so many of us. You know, he was a young man in his 30s trying to figure out his place in the world and kind of like, what is it in a world that doesn't quite make sense, where there are so many things that are like, okay, you can make a living, but what are you contributing to? Is it nourishing your soul? Is it not nourishing your soul? You know, he was a great writer and thinker and philosopher. You know, he's almost like a Voltaire type of spirit. If he could have, you know, found himself as a resident writer in a castle who would like critique the events of the day, that would have been perfect for him. But in the 21st century, as it is for so many people, it was hard, especially a young man trying to find a space, very difficult. And then I was also going through tremendous difficulty. It was like, wow, I had been working for the CBC for quite some time, and they were sort of downsizing all this stuff. You could see the workforce dwindling, you know, all these roles sort of evaporating and the workforce disappearing, and in its stead, hiring freelance people for a lot less money, et cetera. I was, you know, on salary. And it was just before that we began to work on the album. Music has always been solace for us, a place of solace. And this album was so very special. It was a place that we could go to that we felt so fine and grounded. And, you know, there are some projects that you take years to kind of configure the puzzle. You take years. I've worked on movies where it's on my 10th year and I'm still trying to solve the riddle of the screenplay. There are some elements of music, you know, that are very difficult. Music is my first love. A lot of people are very shocked to find out that I'm a musician. You know, I'm seeing on people go, wow, I didn't know she was doing that. But I grew up in Vancouver. You know, art was what I turned to as a young person. I ran away from home when I was 15, and it was a very difficult world. I was a street kid and very profoundly economically difficult time, and also just wrestling with a lot of dissension within my family, a lot of mental health issues with my mother. And art saved me. Like, I really feel that art saved me. And music was my primary expression. So I had been in bands since I was a teenager and started making films and video in high school. So really, art was so profoundly important to me. It really got me out and buoyed my spirit in so many times. And so in this very difficult moment in our lives, it was music. That there's something about music that just goes into the soul. In fact, it's like music is the barometer by which I'm able to gauge things when I'm making things. When I sing from my spirit and my soul and it feels resonant and right, I can feel it. It's like a thing that vibe, like it's like it's a rod that vibrates and it feels good. And when I'm not singing well, or when it's false and I'm in my head and I'm thinking about something else and not engaged in that moment, I don't feel that resonant frequency. That resonant frequency has been such a guiding principle and tool in my life. I use it when I make movies, when I'm acting, when I know it's in the pocket. It was when I feel that, as an actor, when a take is right. I can feel it in my bones when I see it on the screen when I'm directing a movie. I can just feel it. So it's I'm very grateful to have that. So in the second album that we are making, under difficult circumstances of the world and our lives, it was really a place of solace for us. And this album just came together like so easily. Some of the best work just unfolds. It's almost like the work is possessing you. We wanted to develop past the sort of torch song, electroacoustic sound of our first album, and Adam and I are real purveyors and lovers of pop music. And pop music from throughout the ages. I still have Adam's Spotify account. I love listening to it because he exists for me so much in music. So just to hear and see, thank God he bookmarked all of his favorite albums because I hear them and I hear his spirit. So this album was very much, we were like, okay, we're gonna make an unapologetic, full-on pop album. And these songs just, we were so excited because a lot of unconscious ideas were bubbling up. The music was fantastic. A full-on melody and muscularity and tenderness and beauty and difficulty, all there. We were very, very excited about this. The pressures of our other things that I was talking to about, we, after being together for 12 years, our romantic relationship began to, we started to drift apart that way. A couple could be two people, but then a couple entwined and they become one person, and it's really beautiful. But then you also have to develop your singularity as well. And I knew that that was important, and Adam also knew that was important too. At that time, he started to take, drugs for his anxiety. And a lot of people do have prescription medication that are greatly helpful. They help a lot of people, but for some people, the medication isn't compatible with their systems. In that regard, that's what happened with Adam. He had a tremendous, difficult reaction to some of those drugs. I'm just gonna digress into another point. So what had happened was Adam moved out, and during that time, the medication on top of the anxiety was starting to spiral his mind. And I did not realize that because we were separated and we were having, a separate time from each other. He ended up getting a gig scoring a Netflix series, which really helped him in the finance department. And then he was able to start feeling like he was getting on top of stuff, but he was unable to finish the album with me. So by then we had a number of songs, but we agreed there were like four that weren't cutting the mustard. And I said, okay, so can I finish this album? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So we had eight strong songs that we were working. So I, wanted to add, I started to add more and finesse the songs that already existed. And then in that year that transpired, we ended up coming back together again as best friends, trying to figure our lives out. But with the combination of psychiatric medication, the prescription drugs were creating a terrible situation where he was unable to sleep. I was working on a play. I was doing a workshop for Sheila Hetty's play, and I couldn't see him for that week. And that was a devastating week where he was unable to sleep. I saw him the day I wrapped the workshop. We met up and I could tell that he was all very, very discombobulated. And he was, it was hard for him to string words together. And yet we were walking around and still singing together. That's what we would do, is like hold hands and like sing together and make up songs. And I said, hey, okay, so tomorrow let's go to a play. And he's like, I can't talk to anyone. And I said, okay, well, we don't have to speak with anyone. We can just, I hear it's a pretty amazing thing. Why don't we meet up regardless? And he said, okay. But the next day, at the time that we were going to meet up, he didn't show up. And that was so unlike him, very unlike him. And I knew that there was something up. And I still didn't hear from him. And I started to phone around and phone around to people. And then sure enough, I ended up really becoming quite freaked out. And I went to the police station and they were not very helpful. They were like, you know, this hasn't been 24 hours. This person isn't missing. We're really busy. You can stay here if you want. You know, I literally paced the police station for like all night. Basically, I called some friends and we mobilized a search party. And we were looking for Adam. And then finally the police got on top of it. But regardless, it was a moot point. Adam passed.
I'm just going to stop here for a moment. Sometime after Lee last saw Litovitz, he would take his own life. We took a few moments before continuing the interview. I would also like to take this time to again remind you all that depression and problems with mental health are very real. If you're having a tough time, reach out to someone, reach out to anyone, because believe it or not, the world is a better place with you in it. Let's switch back over to part two of my interview with Sukyun Lee.
I have been speaking out about the cautionary measures of prescription drugs for people. You know, I think it's when I started to speak about this, there is somebody that contacted me who had the same prescription that Adam had, and he basically described hell on earth. His response to the drug, the suicidal ideation that had arisen out of that experience, and then trying to find help, but by then he was severely addicted because it's a highly addictive drug. And so I've seen people with tremendous dexterity of thought and rationale have a very hard time with this particular drug. So that's kind of some of what happened. And so I had this amazing group of songs that Adam had. And also I have his writing and his gorgeous artwork. And I am taking it upon myself to disseminate and share his good works. And there are two angels who have helped me realize the album, and that's Steve Charlie, who mixed the album. I loved Steve's work. He mixed US Girls and Bajaj Pak and Anik Bazian. He's worked with so many of my friends on so many of my friends' albums, and he's just got great mixing ears. And I said to Steve when Adam passed, it's really important to put the work out, and he agreed. And so Steve and I have been working on this, me finishing up the tracks and sending them to him to mix. And then also Dylan Gamble, who when I was, after Adam passed away, I was really in a rock bottom place. And I met Dylan one night at a karaoke bar. My friend dragged me out because I was in a severe depressed state. And Dylan was working the bar at karaoke, and Dylan and I ended up hitting it off and becoming friends. And he was at a crossroads in his life that was tremendously difficult, and we became each other's support system. You know, you go through life and there's just some people that you really, they're your brethren, you feel them. So Dylan and I have a similar frisson, and when the lockdown happened, we decided to make a movie together. He was en route to South by Southwest. He plays in the band Hot Garbage. I was in Detroit and Windsor, and it was like, holy shit, we got to both turn back here. Shit's hitting the fan. So we both hightailed it back to Toronto, and I was like, okay, so this is going to be bad. This lockdown's happening. And I had been invited to make a movie based upon the lockdown world, but it was an anthology of several shorts. I wasn't really interested in doing a short, but that started to percolate an idea for a feature-length movie. And I was like, Dylan, do you want to lock down in my house with me? And I'm going to make a movie. Like, my home houses the creative work of Adam, my sister Dee Dee, who was a poet who passed away when she was a teenager, and Adam's mom, Malka Litovitz, who's a brilliant, beautiful poet. My home houses the work of three brilliant people. And so I wanted to make a movie about what it was to wrestle this time, the loss of Adam, and celebrate him and his writing. That was a movie called Death and Sickness. It's out on CBC Gem.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about making Death and Sickness?
I usually make movies with a huge cast and a large budget, comparatively large budget, with Death and Sickness. Death and Sickness was a movie that Dylan and I made in lockdown using my cameras and consumer, you know, Steadicam and all consumer cameras, you know, Canon cameras, consumer Osmo Cam, my cell phone. I work in radio, so no audio quite a bit. So we did the audio and stuff. So it's essentially a movie that is drawn from life. It's kind of a hybrid film that is part fiction, part nonfiction, part sci-fi, part fantasy escape, psychedelic escape. And it was really about two fucked up strangers who meet in a karaoke bar and decide to lock down during a global pandemic together. We play ourselves, and I'm grieving the loss of Adam, who is a huge presence in my life. And Dylan is struggling with various substance addictions and so forth, and he's trying to get his world together. Losing Adam profoundly changed my life, and losing our world, everybody, it's almost like a microcosm of the idea of losing our sense of community, our sense of world, our place in the world, our friends, our memory of what the world was in this pandemic. Is it's like having to let that go. And so there was a kind of metaphor between those two things that I tried to kind of meld together.
You talked a little bit about vibrating and creativity. Where do you think creativity comes from?
It's a mysterious thing. Dylan and I were just talking about it because we've been working on the second video and we're walking around and I was just like, oh my God, I love making things. Making things is the best. It feels so good to make stuff. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you know, it feels really nice to be able to also make money and have a career making stuff too, because it's like the other option is like, then you have to make money doing something that feels horrible and it doesn't feel nourishing for your spirit. So gosh, we're lucky to be able to be doing this. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't be surprised if creativity is just like part of an energetic field. I just read about this rover on Mars that found a crater that looks like there's, you know, water that could have possibly sustained life. The universe is ever expanding. It's beyond our comprehension. You know, our lives seem, this is all we know right now, but we're just a mere speck blip on something that is astronomically huge. And I do believe that astronomically huge thing is whatever is driving that astronomically huge universe is also us. That I believe there is a force that sort of pulses through the entire universe and indiscriminately animates to life, either a planet or a tree or a bird or a being or a blade of grass or anything. That is just the force moving through matter and bringing, animating to life all of these things. I do think that creation comes from that force.
You're kind of a Canadian icon, at least in my world, for Canadian music and independent music. What do you think of indie music in Canada right now?
I've been kind of operating in a kind of bubble, but I do feel that there's all so many different things. I do feel that there's a kind of like industry accepted style of music that is a kind of like radio friendly and very somewhat, it's the Canadian sound that has a kind of like roots oriented rock. It is ubiquitous and has been that way forever. But for my ear, it's a bit generic. I've always come up through the underground. So, you know, I grew up in the late 80s and 90s in Vancouver, where there was a lot of great stuff happening. All these people just like mixing it up and collaborating together, and very politicized community, very queer community for me. Of course, scenes come and go, and I've seen many scenes come and go that were equally vibrant across Canada. Halifax Pop Explosion, Calgary had great post-punk bands and comedians come out of Calgary. And in Toronto, you know, since having moved here, there was a very vibrant community that came out about 10 years ago. It was a community that was like, you know, Owen Pallett, Final Fantasy, Les Mouches. There's so many great bands. Alistair came out of that world. And now I'm seeing like Dylan's world, you know, Dylan's world of like psych bands, you know, Mother Tongue, Hot Garbage, Martian Crisis Unit. Played me some stuff and it was like, what the fuck? These are really high quality recordings. Like, you know, in my time, it was like scrappy four tracks. You know, you got your lo-fi was the way. But some of these bands really like bust out the production value. I'm like, what? So it's like a total different gen of like highly amiable, wholesome, I would say. Kind of like very politically savvy as well. Like they're like, ooh, you know, they know, it seems like they know, you know, when things kind of, it's not like they're just kind of like blindly accepting everything, but they're pretty discerning. But there is, it's almost like, wow, this is such a healthy looking, attractive,
well-adjusted group of people.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to ask you one more question about Runaway With Her. Is there anything that you would like people to take away from the song the first time they hear it?
Yeah, I feel it's a real buoyant, warm embrace. Runaway With Her is like an invitation to escape together. And God knows that we've all been under duress with this pandemic, with all of these things that our world has thrown our way. There's something in the song just to run away together that is both kind of has a melancholy but uplifting feeling. And I would love people to dance to it, move to it. A lot of people have been writing me and going, I'm dancing to this right now. And so I would really love for them to feel that sense of freedom and possibility and buoyancy.
What is next for Sukhyun Lee?
Well, I'm going to be promoting this album that comes out April 9th. It's called Juge 2. And instead of making the album under our band's name, because I want to proliferate Adam's work, I made sure that it was under Sukhyun Lee and Adam Litovitz, and the album is called Juge 2, and it's on Mint Records. Dylan and I are working on a couple of music videos, which are really, really awesome. I'm working on a live screen adaptation of Chester Brown's graphic novel, Paying For It, which is based on his experiences as a John in the sex industry. And just working on a couple of ideas for, Dylan and I are working on an idea for a new movie that we're gonna make in lockdown. And I have an idea for a TV series and making more music.
You know, you do so many things. You're a filmmaker, you're a musician, you're a broadcaster. What has your career taught you about life and yourself up to this point?
You know, I've really, really just cherished the ability to express myself through art and creativity. And I've always followed my curiosity, which always led to new opportunities. I didn't ever really go, okay, I've got a plan. I'm not a great plan maker. I am good at having an idea and following through and making stuff, but I've just sort of, in terms of a career, been very blessed.
Very cool, very cool. Where can we keep up with Sukhyun Lee?
Well, I'm online on Instagram. I started an Instagram account like about a year ago under Sukhyun Lee, S-O-O-K-Y-I-N Lee, L-E-E-E. There's three E's because the one with two E's was taken. I'm on Facebook under Sukhyun Lee, with just two E's, and on Twitter. So you can find me very easily if you just Google.
I just want to take a minute to sincerely thank Sukhyun Lee for coming on the show to talk to me about Juge 2 and how it came about. Again, I want to just remind everybody, if you are going through anything in your life, always better to reach out for help. This is Runaway With Her by Sukhyun Lee and Adam Litovitz. There is no doubt that I could not thank Sookyun Lee more if I tried for sharing her and Adam's story. Love is incredibly hard. If you don't think so, maybe you're less in love than you think. Maybe you just have it easier than everybody else. In some cases, it's a testament to yourself and to your partner. The loss of it is more excruciating than I can imagine. Your Paris is in love, and it's the reason that I'm ending the show on what I can only hope is a positive note brought on by the presence of this awesome Kingston duo and the legendary influence of Donald Glover. Yes, the guy from Community. Has he gotten awards and shit yet? Like, he has, right? So I've had the pleasure of featuring Your Paris on the show before, and the duo is nothing less than one of the best Canadian pop R&B groups that I've heard in recent years. Your Paris is the collective effort of Nick Babcock and Layla Karuba. The two describe Your Paris on their Spotify account as either hearing about their love story or hearing about their breakup. This is Redbone, written by Childish Gambino, AKA Donald Glover, and performed by Your Paris.
Daylight, I wake up feeling like you won't play right. I used to know, but now this just don't feel right. Made me put away my pride. So song for so long, make it hard for a boy like that to know wrong. Wishing I could make this mine, but if you want it, you can have it. If you need it, we can make it.
That is Your Paris, and that is the show for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for hanging out with me. This is New Ones at Noon, aka the New Music Mondays podcast. I am still your host, Ben in Toronto, and I really hope you all have an incredible week. Did you know Spain just launched a trial of a 4-day work week? Sounds interesting to me, like they just straight up have taken a day off. I'm not sure if it's Monday or Friday. I mean, maybe it's like Wednesday. I mean, who knows? It sounds like a very solid plan, though. Dropout is licensed to play through, so can. Visit dropoutentertainment.ca for all of the best Canadian music content I know you've had your heart set on. Connect with Dropout on social media at Dropout Entertainment and hit me up on social media at Ben in Toronto. And let me know what you want to hear on Dropout Radio and the show. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. It is my favorite part of the week to hang out with you and share some music, share some tunes, just hang out. Please stay safe out there. Wear your mask and just be respectful of each other and love each other and give each other hugs virtually from a distance in your mind. Don't actually touch each other. That would be bad. This is New Music Mondays. Now back to 100%. This is New Ones at Noon, aka New Music Mondays. Now back to 100% real Canadian independent music. This is Dropout Radio.